We called the enemy ghosts. Bad night, we'd say, the ghosts are out. To get spooked in the lingo meant not only to get scared, but to get killed. Don't get spooked, we'd say, stay cool, stay alive. Or we'd say, careful man, don't give up the ghost. The countryside itself seemed spooky. Shadows and tunnels and incense burning in the dark. The land was haunted. We were fighting forces that didn't obey the laws of 20th century science. Late at night on guard, it seemed that all of Vietnam was alive and shimmering, odd shapes swaying in the paddies, boogeymen in sandals, spirits dancing in old pagodas. It was ghost country, and Charlie Kong was the main ghost. The way he came out at night, how you never really saw him, just thought you did, almost magical, appearing, disappearing. He could blend with the land, changing form, becoming trees and grass. He could levitate. He could fly. He could pass through barbed wire and melt away like ice and creep up on you without sound or footsteps. He was scary. In the daylight, maybe, you didn't believe in this stuff. You laughed it off. You made jokes. But at night, you turned into a believer. No skeptics in foxholes. Azar was wound up tight. All afternoon, while we made the preparations, he kept chanting, Halloween, Halloween. That, plus the finger snapping, almost made me cancel the whole operation. I went hot and cold. Mitchell Sanders wouldn't speak to me, which tended to cool it off, but then I'd start remembering things. The result was a kind of numbness. No ice, no heat. I just went through the motions, rigidly by the numbers, without any heart or real emotion. I rigged up my special effects, checked out the terrain, measured distances, collected ordnance and equipment we'd need. I was professional enough about it. I didn't make mistakes, but somehow it felt as if I were gearing up to fight somebody else's war. I didn't have that patriotic zeal. If there had been a dignified way out, I might have taken it. During evening chow, in fact, I kept staring across the mess hall at Bobby Jorgensen, and when he finally looked up at me, almost nodding, I came very close to calling it quits. Maybe I was fishing for something. One last apology, something public. But Jorgensen only gazed back at me. It was a strange gaze, too, straight on and unafraid, as if apologies were no longer required. He was sitting there with Dave Jensen and Mitchell Sanders and a few others, and he seemed to fit in very nicely, all smiles and group rapport. That's probably what clinched it. I went back to my hooch, showered, shaved, threw my helmet against the wall, lay down for a while, got up, prowled around, talked to myself, applied some fresh ointment, then headed off to find Azar.